Yes, we are here again. Nice to do another in-person interview with Tony and Kat Swanson in Nairobi in Kenya. Just nice to have people sitting in front of us actually have an in-person conversation after COVID and whatnot. So welcome Tony and Kat, and thank you for taking the time today out of your busy schedules to chat with me. So we've got a few points for discussion. First of all, do you want to just start off by introducing yourself, maybe give us a bit of background on your time in Africa to date and your experience with missions in general?
Hi, so yes, I'm Kat Swanson, and Tony and I are here this afternoon to introduce ourselves to you and share a bit about our time in AIM. So we joined AIM in 1998, having come out on a look-see visit a couple of years before that, and we arrived in Tanzania in January of 1999. And that was 23 years ago. We spent about 20 years in Tanzania, and then a couple of years in Uganda, and we are now new here to Kenya.
Amazing. So lots of experience in East Africa. At the minute, you are relatively new to Kenya, would it be fair to say?
Yep, we arrived on the 1st of January. So we arrived very early on the first day of this new year. Yeah, that was at the request of the international director of AIM, who had asked some time earlier whether he'd take on this position as the regional executive officer, overseeing our missions and our strategies and our personnel in Tanzania and Kenya. That's about 123 different people, actual members of AIM in one way or another, but then also all the strategies looking at mobilizing and others.
So new role, new country. How has it been in terms of just adjusting the last 4.5 months, adjusting to your new role and perhaps your new roles and perhaps what you spoke into compared to what you were doing before?
So I haven't actually changed my role. So as the safeguarding officer for AIM internationally, I'm working under the international office, and I can pretty much do that from anywhere, anywhere on the continent. Anyway, it involves a lot of traveling, a lot of training, a lot of consulting. So I'm pretty flexible in where I can do that. So that's pretty much been streamlined. And if anything, actually, it probably makes it easier for me to be in Nairobi just for ease of travel, and it's better for networking. We are settling in. We never wanted to live in a big city. We liked where we were, but we're enjoying it. Yeah, we're settling in, aren't we? And it's good. It's great to be here at the Eastern Region Office, which is the sort of hub of operations, really. And we're working with a really great team of mostly Kenyans here, which is a great privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So as your new country and your new surroundings become a bit clearer and adapting to your home, new city, when you think about sort of the vision for AIM in East Africa over the next, the next part of your tenure, however long that may be, the next decade or longer, compared to where it has come from all the way from its inception at the end of the 19th century, what is different about AIM's vision and your vision perhaps for AIM in East Africa and where that's going?
Thank you. Great question. Well, the vision of the whole organization remains the same, wanting to see Christ-centered churches amongst all African peoples. The major difference is how we achieve that end. So we're not in the 1950s, we're not in the 1850s, we're in the 2020, whatever we are, 2023. Yeah, and so we're looking really to be appropriate, culturally appropriate to the time that we're working in. And that is very important because the church here has grown exponentially over the time that AIM has been in Kenya and Tanzania. It is not what it once was 100 years ago or even 20 years ago. And so there are vast numbers of Christians, evangelical Christians now in this part of the world. And so how do we interact with those? How do we work together? How do we partnership with? How do we collaborate with? How do we become a better AIM in Eastern Region in order to reach our goals, reach our ends. So we've come with three values. One is warmth, welcome, and worship. That's what we want. We want to warmly welcome people into Eastern Region, wherever they come from, whatever background they come from. And we want to warmly welcome them in terms of different ministries that we're involved in. And we want to worship together, be a worshiping community. We're more than a bureaucracy. We're more than just pushing papers and making things happen on emails. We are a worshiping community, worshiping Christ, the King, Christ the Lord. And those are, our, if you like, our values, our espoused values that we've come with. But we've come also with the age-old calling of winning people to Christ, building them up in the faith, and sending them out into the world. So win, build, send, if you like. Those are our, those are the basics of any mission organization. And so that's what we do. But how do we go about the winning? We're no longer the tip of the spear as we once were. So we are working together with the local churches to win people for Christ. We are building people up through theological education, through training, through discipleship, alongside the local churches that do exist. And we are sending people out from those churches to reach the least, to reach the lost, who remain in Eastern Region and beyond. And so that is our general MO, if you like, for Eastern Region. We're working together, taking into account, well, the successes, the benefits, the blessings that we've seen God provide over the last century or so since we've been here.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Just very clear way of setting it out for the next while. And just interesting to see how far the work of God in East Africa and in Africa in general has come from all that time ago, over 100 years. So amazing and exciting, which brings us on to the next question, which is, can you think of or highlight any exciting new areas, maybe you've touched on already, new methods of reaching unreached people where AIM is working, partnering with other people, new organizations, and expanding at the moment?
Well, very recently I was up in the eastern, visiting the eastern part of Kenya to a predominant, one area that's predominantly full of people of another religion. And there we worked together, we came together for a medical camp. And on that medical camp, there were approximately 20 people and there were seven different organizations represented. That is a beautiful picture of what missions looks like. And there was only one AIM missionary on that team. But we were working together to promote the work of the kingdom as we work together. And that's the key area. So I think a lot more MOUs, memorandum of understandings, a lot more collaboration with others. We're already in situ, so we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We can work alongside them. And that's what we want to encourage all over, really, so that the local church is as much involved and invested in missions as we are as an organization and our supporting churches from wherever we come from. So that's a very exciting area. And what that means is that we have many, many more nationalities working inside and alongside AIM. So we coined the phrase, we have the phrase of being an intercultural community. And that means that it's not just those from South Korea living alongside and ministering alongside those from the UK or from America or from Canada. But it means that those from the Kikuyu tribe, those from the Sukuma tribe, working closely together with those from other countries and other, you know, other nationalities. Now, that means that there's not just a sense of doing my job, but what does it mean to be the body of Christ together? A little taste of heaven, perhaps, not quite there yet, but that's what we're working towards. It's multiple nationalities living alongside each other, warmly welcoming each other, worshiping together, and reaching out together, building up together. That is a picture of what we are attempting to do and trying to do. Now, in doing that as well, we're seriously looking at ways of encouraging or increasing the sending capacity of many of the African churches, many of the African organizations here in Kenya and Tanzania. And so we are looking at ways of sending more African missionaries to the unreached places of Marsabit and Wajir and Garissa and these other places around Kenya, but outside that as well, to the peoples who have not had the opportunity of hearing the gospel message. there are millions of evangelical Christians in this country. Many, many of them are being called now, but they have very few options and opportunities to be sent. And we're looking seriously at how to build those opportunities, that capacity in sending.
Amazing, yeah. So seeking to equip Africans to reach other Africans unreached with the gospel and the good news that's, yeah, as you say, is intercultural, and we get that picture of heaven that once we get there, that'll be full of peoples from every tribe and tongue and nation all over the world, and what a beautiful thing that is to look forward to. Definitely then, what would your advice be to an individual or a couple or a family from Europe, the States, Africa, Asia, looking to consider missions in Eastern Africa today, and what are some of the modern day challenges, perhaps, Kathy could speak to that, compared with maybe whenever you first came to East Africa?
Well, in terms of advice, not sure I've got golden advice, but some thoughts that I think are probably timeless. And then maybe we can be a bit more specific about sort of 2022 and East Africa. So I think that primarily anybody considering doing overseas cross-cultural mission needs to be sure that they are actually serving God and obeying him where they are at the moment. So, you know, we want to see people who are already serving in their churches, who are already working as part of the body of Christ, who are already sharing the love of God where they are. There is a saying, if it doesn't work at home, don't export it. So we really want to see people who are already proving themselves to be servants, and a bit like Gideon, who are at the wine press when they're called into, you know, bigger work for the Lord. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I think, I don't know who's listening to this, but you might be thinking, okay, I've got a job, I'm a hairdresser or whatever. I work in a beauty salon, or I'm a postman or a pizza delivery driver. There's nothing that I could offer in terms of mission. It's for doctors or agriculturalists or pastors. That is so not true. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, that we're really looking at mobilizing Africans into mission, and mission is far and wide and broad. It encompasses every area of life. And so you would be amazed at how many opportunities there might be for you in ways that you couldn't even consider. And also want to encourage you that our skills are transferable. So very often we might be doing a particular job and we're thinking, how on earth could that possibly be relevant in Africa? But there are often, if you break down the job that you do, it might easily be transferable. And I think that's where flexibility comes in, looking to see how, you know, the Lord in his mercy, he uses everything that we have done, that we've been, that we've experienced. And I know for myself, I grew up in the Brownies and Girl Guides. As I've done children's work here, so many times, even on Sunday in Sunday school, I'm using like examples and games, things that I learned when I was 7 or 8 years old. I mean, that's just one example. But I had, my professional background is in nursing and midwifery and health visiting. And although I'm not actually working clinically here, so much of what I have learned and who I became in that role, I'm using here in my safeguarding role. So don't let your lack of imagination stop you from stepping forward and just bringing what you have to the table. And don't disregard yourself because you think you're not the right sort of person. And that leads me on to the final point, which is really it's about character. We are looking for people to join us in Eastern Region who have got characters that are being refined by God, people who are flexible, people who want to serve, people who are willing to roll up their sleeves, people who are willing to work without getting the glory for it, who are willing to work as team members. And we're not looking for saviors of the world. There's only one savior of the world, and it's not me and it's not you either. So we're looking to bring Christ to others. And primarily in terms of mobilization, we're looking to build up and really enable and envision the African church to reach the peoples of Africa. So I don't know, Tony, if you've got anything to add to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's working cross-culturally, so it's an appreciation. Yes, I have to have an appreciation of other cultures, a desire. So it's not just working alongside the particular African culture or tribe that you're in, but also working alongside a team of international players as well, international missionaries as well, and learning how to get on and learning how to listen and learning how to work together. And so that these are key elements, really, in mission in the 21st century. The Lord has done incredible work right across the globe. It's a long time past since it was the West to the rest. Now we are working together. We are laboring together in the harvest field. And so we must be willing not to come with that ethnocentrism that says we have the right way of doing things, the right songs to sing. Our songs may be good and our strategies may be good, but we must listen to others and be willing to do that in order to see God's kingdom come. I think that's the way forward, really. So we're looking for these flexible sort of people. You can be flexible in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and even 60s, and perhaps 70s. We want people either for short term or long term, whether in outreach situations that are in the middle of nowhere, or working together in teams in the cities, reaching out to needy people there. So there are so many opportunities, really, to work in Eastern region. If we find good people, we'll have you and we'll create the work around you, whatever God is calling you to do. So, yeah, welcome. It's a warm welcome indeed.
And it just makes me think about Chris Wright's book, The Mission of God. Many of you may have read that. It's an excellent book. But towards the end of it, he talks about how when people are considering mission opportunities or what kind of mission they should be involved in, he says the question to ask is not what kind of mission does God have for me, but rather what kind of me does God want for his mission. And I think it's remembering that all mission is God's, that he is the author of all mission. He is the one who sent his son. He is the one who longs to save. He is the one who will ultimately bring people to salvation in Christ. And so what he's looking for is willing workers, willing laborers who are just ready to offer what they have and come with hearts that are humble before him. None of us are perfect. The work of sanctification goes on all of our lives. So don't let your own sense of inadequacy stop you either. More importantly, it's just a willingness and an openness to let God's Holy Spirit work through us, and that he would be able to use us and our skills for his glory and not our own. Mm. So welcome to Eastern Region.
Mm. I just want to finish with one little story. I was recently invited to speak at the 125th anniversary of the founding of AIM in Kenya, the very first mission station in a place called Kilamba. And there you can see the graves of the very, very first missionaries who came out to Kenya. Peter Cameron Scott was amongst them there. And the comment that was made, it was a wonderful occasion. I'd only expected maybe a couple of hundred people to be there. There were thousands of people celebrating what God had done through those early missionaries and through the work of AIM in building his church. They say there are around 40,000 Africa Inland Church congregations now across Africa as a result of the vision of these initial missionaries who came out. But the one thing that caught people's attention when they looked at the gravestones of those individuals was their age. One was 25, the other was 27, I forget his name. And they all both died within the first year of going there. But the fruit of their ministry is still seen 125 years on. God is still building his kingdom through their example. You can't be too young and you can't be too old to be involved in God's mission. And you're warmly welcome as a result.
Yeah. Oh, what an incredible image, picture to leave us with of God's faithfulness and testimony to his church in Africa and his peoples over the last 125 years here. So amazing. Thank you so much as well for taking the time out of your busy schedule this afternoon on what's by the looks of things, soon to be rainy Nairobi, hopefully. We're praying for rain across the rest of Kenya and other dry parts of East Africa. But thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And we wish you all the best in continuing settling in Nairobi and in the rest of your roles here as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.